Good morning, brothers and sisters. I would like to share with you a message today. It's called Favoritism. This is from the book of James. I think most of you are very familiar. James is the book that emphasizes that faith is not just faith, but also action. It doesn't mean that you're justified by action, by works. We still are justified by faith, but if your faith doesn't show in the actions, does not be viewed in the actions, then we doubt whether you have true faith or not true faith. So today, we'd like to talk about this topic called favoritism from James 2, chapter 2, 1 to 10. I wonder if any of you have been to the city of Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, I've been there for several times, and several times I visited a very famous place in the downtown area called Independence Hall. So where the United States declared independence and formed together. They have the U.S. Declaration of the Independence here. You can also see the Liberty Bell. Here in the Declaration of Independence of the United States, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, by God, with certain unalienable rights. Then among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now this sentence is one of the most quoted sentences in the English language. Many peoples, many countries actually look up to the United States because it is found on Christian values. It's founded on Christian values, the belief that all people are equal in front of God and that we have to respect their freedom, their equity, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, although that is written in the Declaration of Independence, but in reality, sometimes we cannot achieve this ideal situation. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, you can see, because the incident of George Floyd, that it sparks a lot of protests around the world. A policeman nailed on George Floyd's throat when he complained that I cannot breathe, and he did not pay any attention. As a result, George Floyd died. And this sparks a lot of protests. This is not a single incident. In fact, this kind of incidents happened too much, too often. That's why a lot of people rise, not just the black people, but also a lot of people of different races, not just in the United States, but also in Europe and other countries. They also march on the street because this kind of thing happens quite widespread. I would say that given this situation, first, they are looting. I do not condone looting, but I believe this is another group of people who will take advantage of the opportunity to steal other people's stuff. That's not right. I do not condone violent demonstrations, protests. But I emphasize and sympathize with those people who are doing peaceful protests. Because in the book of Bible, in Micah, this is what the prophet said. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God, with your God. As Christians, we talk about love a lot. But you know that under God's character, besides love, there's also justice. So here, the law also requires to stand up for the oppressed, to seek justice on this earth, peacefully. And we human beings are weak. We have our weaknesses. Then we have to be humble ourselves, and walk with God so that we will not commit these kind of problems. Have a lot of self-reflection. So today, I would like to use the book of James and talk about the issue of favoritism. In the first half of chapter 2, James said, number 1, verse number 1, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, those who believe in Christ must not show favoritism. So the command is very clear. Don't have favoritism. But you may ask, what is favoritism? In fact, the original meaning of the word means to receive by faith. In other words, you quickly pass the judgment of another person or another group of people just because of the external appearance, may it be the skin color, the facial features, or where they come from, or different culture practice. And you quickly pass your judgment on this group or this person, and often with a sense of superiority, kind of look down upon them. So, according to James, don't do it. Don't do it. This is unchristian. Christians who believe in Christ, should not show favoritism. James quoted a very vivid example. He says, one time a man come in wearing a golden ring and fine clothes, and the other man come in filthy clothes. And what do? You differentiate. The man with well clothes said, okay, hey, sir or ma'am, have a good seat. And to the poor man said, stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. How come that there's so two human beings coming at the same time, you're very different treatment because you quickly pass the judgment and treat the person with good clothes nicely and not so nicely to the person with filthy clothes. So that is an act of favoritism. By judging features, external features, and you quickly pass judgment and usually have some sense of superiority. You're not as good as we. So you better step away and not be so close to us. And that's not right. Here he mentioned about this example, vivid example. I think most of you are familiar with the incident related to Miss Amy Cooper. She walked the dog in the Central Park of New York, and in the area, there's a bird watch area supposed to put the dog on leash. A black gentleman comes in and asks her, please put on the leash, but she did not listen. Instead, she's threatened. She said, if you keep bothering me, videotape me, I'll call the police. I'll report that you're threatening my life. So maybe we can take a look at this incident. As this incident, as illustration of favoritism. This is only 4 seconds. We'll just play 1 minute.
Close to me. Please don't come close to me. Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African American man threatening my life. I'm sorry, I'm in the ramble. And there is a man, African American, who has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African American man. I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog.
So that's the incident regarding Miss Amy Cooper. My wife, during one of the fellowship meeting, she discussed this event with the Brown Sister students in the small group in the Bible study. Now, she mentioned that, now this is the man, his name, last name is also Cooper, he's called Christian Cooper. He warned Miss Amy Cooper to put on the leash, but she didn't listen. But it doesn't mean that we cannot discern. My wife said, okay, if I have a car here and somebody, well, I'm away to walk to my car, open the door, and a black person come to see me, to approach me, or even a white person, I'll get scared a little bit. But it doesn't mean that I right away will just judge. I'll take precaution, but I will not quickly judge and then look down on that person. Okay, you need to take precaution. You need to be discernible. In the case of Amy Cooper, we cannot apply that because Amy Cooper, people ask him, the black person asked her to put on the leash. Instead of just listening, reflecting upon herself, whether what he said is correct, she refused. And she even used this weapon by calling the police and saying that this is African-American. In this context right now, it's so sensitive, she used it as a weapon. So this is an act of favoritism, discrimination, unfortunately. It doesn't mean that we cannot be discerned. For example, in a church, there's a newcomer comes in, we cannot let him or her be a deacon right away. We have to observe his or her behavior for 1 or 2 years before we elevate this person to a leadership position because we are responsible for the church and let the people, the leaders, are good people, good leaders. But this is after long time observations and make the decisions based on that. And that is not favoritism. This is based on experience and decisions. Favoritism, as I mentioned to you, is by faith. You quickly judge another person just because of their his or her outside external features and then pass judgment and usually have a sense of superiority over that person or that group. So if that is the behavior, a Bible thing, this is not right. As Christians, we should avoid that. But we are human beings, we're weak. Sometimes we have stereotypes of other race, other people already. So we have to watch out, be sensitive. Otherwise, our natural nature sometimes will just classify people, group people, and then treat them as if they are lower group of people. So we have to watch out. I call, just like Micah said, that we have to be humble in front of God, and hopefully we walk with God to avoid this situation. So that's one is the first one of the act of favoritism. Why you have this act of favoritism? James go on and say, chapter 2, verse 4, he said, have you not discriminated among yourselves and come judges with evil thoughts? With evil thoughts. In other words, James probed into our heart. The very actions, the act of favoritism, inside reflecting, maybe there's something bad in your heart. This is just another way to talk about the motives. Why people behave in such a way that treat one group rather than other differently. Treating the person with good clothes, a good seat, and a filthy clothes, sit on the floor. I reflect, why? Why we human beings tend to associate with people who are rich, who are well-dressed? Or maybe because well-dressed, we like something pretty. So it's pretty, we want to associate with something pretty. Or it's rich, that means this person is successful. It's successful, we want to aspire to that kind of position, so we want to associate with these people, maybe learn something from them. Or who knows, maybe in future, if I lose my job under this COVID-19 situation because of the network, our relationship, he or she may help me find a job. Why not this poor person? Because I have no use of him, no use of her. Or if she gets too close, she may ask me for money, ask for a loan. So forget it, this is a baggage. I would like to approach people who may be in future beneficial to me. And that's not good, because in that case, your human relationship is based on whether this relationship is going to generate benefits to you in the future. Your relationship, your love is conditional. It's conditional. This is against the Bible. And James also remind the third point, you know, that you got it wrong. Talk about the fallacy of favoritism. He said, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him, God, to whom you belong? So James said, brothers and sisters, you get it wrong. You try to cultivate the interest favor of the one, the rich. But in fact, God has another plan. God chose more poor people than rich people. More unwise, less well-educated people than those who are wise, call them wise and intelligent and capable. It's not that God is against educated people or intellectual. I'm sorry, by so is an intellectual. Or there's nothing wrong with rich. It's just that rich people tend to be very boastful, while poor people are poor in spirit. They know that there's not enough. They come in front of God and ask for help. So God is not discriminating against rich people. It just happened that rich people has that tendency. Rich people, because they are rich, they're pursuing material enjoyment. So because of that, their hearts are being occupied. I've been occupied and less spiritual pursuit. And they're so proud of themselves. They look down at people, look down at other people. And because of the self-inflated ego, they're so proud. They do not need God. So that's not good. James said, you get it wrong, brothers and sisters. God acts the other way, but you just try to cultivate the favor from the rich. Where was Jesus born? In a manger. Jesus was not born in a big palace or in a mansion of a rich person. He chose to be born in a manger. When he rode into Jerusalem, he rode not in a big, tall horse, but a donkey. He tried to identify the common people who are gentle, ordinary people, and help them. He said, I come to help to a sick, not those people who think they're healthy. So you got to be poor in spirit to pursue God, then you get saved. Jesus said, it will be very difficult for the rich people to enter the kingdom of God, just like camel passing through the eye of a needle. So the disciples were amazed. How come the rich people, they're blessed, they might be very good, that they receive this wish. If these rich people cannot go to heaven, how can we poor people? He said, just the other way, Jesus said. This is more difficult for a rich person to go to heaven. That's exactly what I said. Now, rich people, they tend to pursue enjoyment, material enjoyment, so less time to pursue God. They tend to be boastful, they tend to rely on selves. They're not rich, poor in spirit to pursue God. And as a result, there's less tendency for them to approach God and rely on God. But I know quite a few friends who are rich people. They're very good Christians. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with rich. A lot of rich Christians are very generous. They donate, they generate, give a lot of money to the kingdom of God, to give to the poor. That actually is good. But as a rich person, you have to be especially remind yourself you're weak, you have humble yourselves. Although externally you have this material blessing, but don't treat them as God. And be humble yourself and walk with God, just like Micah said. Sometimes rich people use their rich to actually take advantage of other people. I think you heard of this story. These are the two famous Hollywood actresses. What happened? They with their husband tried to use money to game the system, to ask people to take a test for their daughters, the children, when they are applying for scholarship at the university positions. They go to UCLA, Stanford, or they pretend, they bribe people saying they pretend their daughters are athletes so they can get into the positions by being an athlete, outstanding athlete. In fact, they did not play that sport game. Now, already to the starting point, they're in a better position. They have money to hire tutors, they buy good books, they have more time to study. Compared to poor people, they have to work part-time, they don't have money to buy books to help them study more, they cannot hire tutors. So already, rich people has an advantage over poor people to get to college, especially elite college. But what happened here? Instead of doing the daughter children to study, actually they don't like study, they game the system and use the money to steal the public entrance position based on competition. They game the system. So rich people, unfortunately, has this temptation. They want to use their rich to further strengthen their position. So that's why James asks you, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. But at the same time, we also, as Christians, we should not discriminate against the rich. You don't think, oh, because you're rich, you must be exploiting us. The reason you are so rich because you make money and oppress others. I heard one story, American Christian businessman being very successful. He traveled to China using his position, tried to share the gospel. But you know what? Some of the audience asked him, hey, how do you get connected with the government? How do you make money? Because in a lot of Chinese mind, rich people are bad because the reason they get rich because they're well connected with the government. They use bribe and other illegal means to get a position and exploit the position and make money. So that's why they're rich. So when these American Christians, this successful person, go to China and share the gospel, they start asking this question. And that is also favoritism. Try to judge before they see anything. Judging against the rich is also favoritism. See this verse, Exodus 23:2-3. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor person in lawsuit. Now, not because that one of the person is a poor people, just don't side. Don't be just like Robin Hood. Just because that externally they're poor, then help him and look down on the poor and that look down on the rich, and that is also not right. This is a reverse discrimination. So you said, not a quote, you get very complicated. You say we should not just cultivate a favor from the rich people, we should not look down on the people, but now you say that you should also look down on the rich people. So what should we do? Luckily, James gave us a very quick answer. And that's the fourth point. He said, what is the remedy for favoritism? Very simple. If you really keep the royal law from the scripture, very simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then you're doing right. If you show favoritism, you've seen and are convicted by the law as breakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So what's the remedy? Don't judge by people's appearance, but love them equally. Love yourself, your neighbor, as yourself. You know, when Jesus talked about this, in fact, it was one learned scholar in the law to come to approach Jesus, said, how do I get to heaven? Jesus said, you should love your God with all your might, on your love, on your mind, and also love others as yourself. So all the Old Testament commandments can be condensed into two. And that teacher of law said, okay, yes, master, that's a good answer. But who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? I really amazed by Jesus. Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ gave a very good illustration. He said, okay, someone, a Jew, an Israelite, on the road was robbed by some robber, a bandit, and then he got his things all gone, and then he got very badly hurt. A priest passed by, a Jewish priest passed by, look at that, and then just walk on. And also a Levite came by, look on him, and go on. It is a Samaritan. Samaritan is looked down by the Jews because they treat them as a mixture, mixed marriage with other Gentiles. So they look down, the Jews look down on the Samaritan. It's the Samaritan, get down the horse, and then what? And then take care of him, and then talk him to an inn, and then take care of him, and then when he need to travel, then he said, the innkeeper, please take care of him, and for the all expense, I'm come back and will pay you. He's doing this for a stranger. So, and Jesus asked, who is the laborer? And amazingly, Jesus used a parable, a story to ask, who is my laborer? Is this the priest? The Levite? The person with the same nationality, same skin color, same external features? Or the Samaritan of different culture, different country, or maybe different skin color? And the expert in the law said, it's the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So what's the remedy of favoritism? Treat others as if they are yourselves, not the others as yourself. Who is the labor? Anyone nearby, regarding the facial features, the skin color, the nationality, because all men are created equal in the hand of God. In front of God, they're all created in the image of God. All right? We should treat them equally. So today, we use this topic called favoritism from the book of James. James mentioned about an act of favoritism and said this is no good. And a lot of time why we have this tendency, because we have evil thoughts. We look at human relations is based on certain conditions. And that's not true. It's actually rich people sometimes will even exploit you further than the poor people. But what's the remedy? Not this discriminate against the rich, not discriminate with the poor, but treat everybody equally. Love your neighbor as yourself. The incident of George Floyd sparked a lot of protests around the world. As I said, I do not condone looting. I do not condone violent demonstrations, but I sympathize for people who try to fight for justice. You say that enough is enough. We need to have reform. We have the reform of the political system, not overuse of force, okay? Especially against minorities. I sympathize with them. Yet, I'm also afraid that when there are people massing on the street without wearing a mask, then COVID-19 infection will be widespread. The country uphold the Christian value. All men are created equal, endowed by a creator with the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So I do pray that the recent incident will spark certain reform of police system, not overuse of force, especially against minority. And just stress this an edible situation. But also pray that America is facing three crises. The COVID crisis, 19 crisis, economic crisis. People get unemployed. There are recessions going on around the world. Plus the protests right now. People do not wear masks and march for the seats. And all this fear related. So we pray that God has mercy on this country. This country has sent a lot of missionaries outside. But at the same time, there's still a lot of issues that we have to deal with. Not just this country, around the world. Because COVID-19 cases spread around the world. Economic situation threatened all the economies around the world. And also the protests. So pray that God will help us get rid of this mess. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us worship you. May the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, remind us, we are weak. Human beings tend to, we are witness, tend to associate something. Rich people, maybe with people who aspire to, and get away from people we think they're lower than us. So we have to humble ourselves, just like James said, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat all people equally, not just judging them quickly by their facial expression, by their face. But you can observe and then decide later. Don't make quick judgment. Don't have a sense of superiority over the one person or one group of people. Because all men or women are created equal by you. Help us, just like Micah said, we need to be love and merciful and also act justly. We need to humble ourselves and walk with you. Bless America. Bless our brothers and sisters. In Christ's name, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.